the room.
Happy birthday, Dame Julie. Many happy returns to you, ma'am.
Yeah, she looks good for 81, doesn't she?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, well, pretty much anybody upright at 81 is looking pretty good.
Yeah. It's better than Hillary.
She does.
And how Hillary's about 70?
68 or 69, yeah. Trump is 70.
Why don't they retire these people? You got all that money. Why don't you just go and live a nice, chilled life somewhere? Fucking hell. You could. Oh, I don't understand that power trip. I suppose it's a drug, isn't it?
Well, the thing is that older people generally have the wisdom, except if they're power hungry, perhaps psychopathic older people, in which case wisdom goes out the window.
And Alzheimer's comes in?
I think that's why, you know, in the past we looked to our elders for advice and guidance and good teaching, whereas now, you know, they're just stuck in the very immature levels of existence, which are to do with greed and power. So, yeah, that's the problem. And of course, that's where all the, you know, this whole banking crisis.
As well.
Yeah, something to be looked up to, and you know, we're all meant to covet things these days. So yeah, perhaps not really the people we should be idolizing. But yeah, the whole thing.
Yes.
You're right there, Swami. Were you laughing at something you thought about earlier?
No. Laughing about the Deutsche Bank thing. I mean, this has been coming on for some time now. And well, it would seem Deutsche Bank is going to go the way of Lehman Brothers, which was the beginning of the financial crash here in the U.S., was when Lehman Brothers went under and then took a whole bunch of other operations and businesses with it. And so it looks like Europe is going to face the same thing.
And of course, that was all kind of spun to us through the fairy tale of this rogue trader, Liam Neeson. No, not Liam Neeson. What was his name?
Nick Leeson. That was way back.
Neeson. That's it. I got it. I got it wrong.
That was years and years before. That was in Hong Kong.
Bearings. Sorry, I'm getting mixed up.
But I think it's quite interesting that the last financial crash happened pretty much around the same time as the last time they changed presidents, and this. So you've got a potential new global financial precipice with an incoming president, and you've also got the withdrawal. We'll see when we happens. UK exiting the European Union, which apparently Theresa's gonna set the date for that tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's the Conservative party conference tomorrow. So it'll be the first time she's spoken as the unelected leader of the country.
So she'll just like go out there and say, okay, Brexit, third Tuesday of next week. Gotta go. Bye.
No, they're pretending that never happened.
Yeah, there was a story that I posted up on the Taiwan group page earlier of she... Whenever these leaders have a speech, it always gets talked about before they've actually said it. So apparently in this speech that she is going to be spouting tomorrow, within the Brexit deal, the already European laws that are in effect at the moment are still going to continue after we've exited. So we're still going to have European rules. So what would the difference be?
Well, they're really
sounding a lot like none.
Yeah.
The really dangerous thing that's going on at the moment, though, is this commencement of the European army, isn't it? Have you seen UK
what?
Column talking about that? The European army. The EU army, basically, the EU army is already set up and the headquarters have already been set up. They're down towards Devon somewhere. I can't remember exactly where. But it's all been built. It's all set up. They're just waiting to tick the boxes so that they can switch the whole thing on. And they've got the European army running, up and running.
And it's being set up in England?
Yeah, part of it's in England.
Doesn't that seem odd?
I don't know. Well, the fact that they're setting up a European army and aren't actually telling the populace seems quite odd anyway. But what's happening is the British armed forces have slowly been degraded over the years and disbanded. Mm. And they're slowly getting rid of more and more of the different, what are they? The regiments, thank you. And so effectively, we don't actually have the ability to defend ourselves at the moment. And what they're doing is they're trying to bring in this, they're basically, I heard a very good way of describing it, is that they are I can't remember how to describe it now. The product of the British army is basically being undermined. And the new product is the EU army. And they're coming in now with, you know, stories of bad soldiers and things like this. Right. And soldiers are going to be put into court and kind of shown up as, you know, having done bad things. And it's just going to be the degradation of the British armed forces. And what we're going to do, oh dear, here we go. Here's the new EU army. Just happens to all be set up and in place and just waiting for them to turn the switches and everything. And that is a really, really big step that they're trying to push ahead with at the moment. So again, go to UK Column take a look around their website. Check out the UK Column videos that have been up for this past week, which was the what was the beginning of the week? We're at the 1st of October now.
Monday?
So beginning. Thank you. The sort of from around about the 26th through to the 1st of October, some of the editions around then have been talking very eloquently about it. So, you know, they can explain it much better than I can, but just giving that a heads up and ask people to go and have a look at that. So, moving on, any bongs?
I'm just reading about the European army, and the first thing that comes up on Google is like a quote from the, I don't know who's, it doesn't actually say who said it, but it says, with new calls for an EU military by EU Commissioner, Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker and by other European leaders and policymakers, like the head of German Parliament's Foreign Policy Committee, Norman Röttgen, saying a European army was a European vision whose time has come. So, you know, they're ushering it in, aren't they? There's a post here from August from the Daily Express. nice, classy paper. Saying the Euro army will happen. Euro leaders are just waiting for Britain to leave. So that's interesting. If the headquarters, like you're saying, are in Devon.
I've just brought up the page from UK column. So let me just read that. It's not an EU army. Excuse me, I'm up something in my throat at the moment. I'm going to cough. Right. Not an EU army.
Oh, that you just did a great Hillary impression.
Oh, thank you. Was Hillary eating crisps before she went on stage by any chance? I would advise not to. Right. So not an EU army, but EU military union. The EU, this is what's behind it. The EU is desperately requiring control of its member states' military budgets.
Militaries and budgets.
Yeah, so, yeah, their militaries and their budgets. So this is what they're after. And nobody in Parliament, that is the British Parliament, is bothering to mention this. The issue of the European Union desperately requiring control of the military and budgets of EU member states is moving very fast now. UK Column News and Strategic Defence Initiatives UK have covered this issue repeatedly and in depth in recent months and weeks. We feel strongly that it's not being voiced with the correct level of importance as the UK apparently prepares for Brexit. Well, so they say. There will be no Brexit unless Britain extricates itself as a matter of urgency from the amalgamation of EU militaries, which will inevitably prompt an EU treasury taking over from the member states' budgets. This is exactly why they want to get hold of the military, because then they have the military budgets, which then means they have the they have control of the treasury. So that's what it's all about.
Rothschild said, "Let me control. Let people make their own laws, but let us control their money."
Yeah. So this is exactly where it's heading, why it's so important and why it's so strategic to them. In Parliament, no party, this is in Britain, is even mentioning EU military union, popularly but inaccurately referred to as an EU army. So I use that phrase as well. So there we go. That's my ignorance. Mm-hmm. The inaccuracy is that the military union now rapidly being rolled out involves all the armed forces of the member states, not just the armies, and that it does not replace, but rather subsumes the nation states' militaries and military budgets. In other words, the nominal armies, navies, air force of the EU member states, including post-Brexit Britain, will remain in place, but sapped of their ability to operate or purchase independently of EU command. So, and it now appears likely that the situation in Syria will precipitate some sort of catalytic event to bring about EU military union in concert with Washington. Strategic Defence Initiatives UK's opinion is that a continuation or escalation of disruption in Syria will result in a EU military union being forged. being formed using the need to stand up to Russia's actions as the propaganda leverage. So I would encourage people to go and read the rest of that article and really get to grips with what's going on. So there we go.
I mean, how close does that... go ahead, Tom.
This is from the Wikipedia page for the military of the European Union, so not a European army, but that's combined army. The equipment, they have 546 ships, 2,448 aircraft, and 7,490 battle tanks, with a budget of 194 billion. That was in 2014. So that's massive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it means any unrest.
194 billion. Sort out the whole of the third world's problems that places like that are in the European Union have created.
Yes, right. that military budget is part of the third world's problems, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
And
we are watching. We are witnessing right now, as some, you know, we may agree with or disagree with, have referred to the totalitarian tiptoe. It is just being step by step by step implemented, things put together that once upon a time were not have anything to do with one another. They functioned independently this is unfortunate.
And because it's a gradual amalgamation, people are comfortable in because it's not from one extreme to the other. I'd say that they'd actually try to defend that if you brought up that this situation to somebody, that almost feel, well, yeah, of course, well, we should have that kind of mentality, you know. Can you see what you're saying there? People get so accustomed that they get embroiled in the conspiracy.
Yeah, well, the obvious thing that's happening right now in front of our eyes is the fact that Syria has no central bank. Syria has no fucking IMF loan. There's no GMO crops, and it's a secular country. That's one thing that's not really played out sort of much. So as soon as we start fucking blowing the fuck out of them and get rid of Assad, there'll be some fucking radical, either Muslim or even Christian sort of radical put in there sort of thing, which is the classic divide and conquer fucking bollocks. Mm-hmm. Then they'll have the fucking crops.
White helmets.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, have you seen the latest White Helmet thing that they're honouring Joe Cox with an award? Mm. Did you see this?
Well done for dying.
Yeah. She's been given a martyr award or something. Well, it's because she was, one of our things was Syrian refugees, but she was instrumental in bringing Syrian refugees to Britain.
Oh my God.
I was thinking about all this because I've this week watched that Netflix documentary.
Oh, you watched it? And I couldn't bring myself to watch it. I just thought
it's horrific. It's horrific, and you can see the propaganda in it, and how they're being portrayed, and then watching Vanessa Bailey and Mike Robinson's UK column earlier on in the year talking about it, and then listening to Vanessa's reports on 21st Century Wire. Then what I've lost my train of thought there. Yeah, so I watched them about the White Helmets, and you can see how it's being played. I've lost track of my point there, but it'll come back to me.
Yeah, that whole White Helmets thing is just, it's quite interesting because you can, if you understand it, if you're keeping up with what Vanessa Beely is bringing from Syria, and she does a hell of a job really showing sort of how outstanding work, showing how the propaganda machine is working. And when you can see that, you really see sort of how slick they, they go about these mm-hmm. things. Like making a Netflix film all about how wonderful the White Helmets are, and yet there is Vanessa Beely showing us very, very clearly, with all the evidence, that these people who are wearing the White Helmets are linked with terrorist organizations who have been beheading children in Syria. This isn't funny stuff, you know. This isn't.
Helping certain people and leaving, like, because I think that one, their motto is to save everybody, but there's evidence that they've been.
But they have executed.
There's that footage of them, two White Helmets guys on the back of a truck with
soldiers
bodies,
where they are then taunted and executed. That doesn't sound like a group of people who are willing to help anyone. Sounds like a terrorist organization.
There's also that footage of someone being shot, and then they come in to body bag the body. It's not that they've been called. They were literally at the execution there.
Yeah. So we have to be very careful what we see about the White Helmets.
And the way that the footage is edited, in the Netanyahu footage, where they edit out the person abstaining from shaking his head, the tape maybe takes some of that footage, miss out the part where they've been executing people, and then going to rubble places to supposedly find them. I mean, people that aren't aware of people like Vanessa and other sort of actual people that are living in Syria that are reporting back what's happening. People
legitimate
that are aware
of
their witness testimonies. Will take this footage, and the humanity in them will say, oh well, it appears that they're doing good. So you can see how the mainstream media completely flip the narrative, and particularly Channel 4.
Who have been emailed, according to Vanessa, they've been emailed by many, many Syrian people who are saying to them, what the hell are you reporting? Because I was in Syria at the time you reported these particular atrocities and nothing was going on. You know, so what are they reporting? But yet they are not reporting things about the White Helmets, who, and there's a particular hospital which had been reported had been completely blown to smithereens some months ago, and yet now they're reporting that this hospital is up and running and taking casualties. So they need to get their stories correct in the mainstream media, really.
Has the event that took place here in the U.S. in and the breakdown and all that of Charlotte, North Carolina, made much of an impact in y'all's media?
No, well, we haven't heard that.
Not in the so much in the mainstream. I think it was reported, but then listening to last week's Sunday Wire with Patrick, he sort of went into that quite a lot.
It's way beyond what happened with Ferguson, and it is a complete, obvious manipulation of emotions and racial divide, when the facts of the matter is that the guy who was shot and killed was black, yes, but so was the officer who shot him. But that part they don't say. And 7 out of 10 average, 70% of the individuals arrested during the riots were from out of state. So these are the Soros fund agitators who have come into the state. Yes. And it's happening.
And the white helmets are funded by Soros.
Yes. So, I mean, we're watching this play out on the game boards of numerous geographical locations, but it's the same play, and it's the same players behind it. And it's working. That's the worst part.
I think that when you see things like the Netflix thing, slick and, you know, very good as it is, they do have to go to an awful lot of trouble. Really, I mean, having to make a whole film like that to try and promote. But they do.
Well, that's because
they go
they
to
want,
this table, don't they? For the manipulation.
That's because they want the White Helmets to get the Nobel Peace Prize. That's why,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
This is all a play. And did you see that the change.org petition, there was one to get the White Helmets the Nobel Peace Prize, but Vanessa had put up one to sort of
stop them,
try and stop it, and that's been taken off change.org now.
No,
really?
That got taken down a couple of days ago.
Had y'all heard about another media issue over here? Do y'all know who Michael Savage is?
No.
Okay. In American media, do you know who Rush Limbaugh is?
Yeah.
Okay. Michael Savage is just below Rush Limbaugh in influence, number of station affiliates. He's got Savage. Okay, Limbaugh has 600-some radio stations that run his show. Savage has over 400, but on the day of the debate this past Monday, they took Savage off the air, and they started with his largest affiliate, WABC in New York, and they did not inform him or his producer or anything. They just quit. He was in the midst of discussing the side effects of a specific medication used for Parkinson's, and he was talking about Hillary's health situation. His mother had taken this med, so he was able to see that, you know, some of the side effect issues are going on with Hillary's health. And they, boop, cut his show off and put on something else live. Then around the country, it is 400 affiliates. One by one by one by one, they went to a rerun of Michael Savage's show. And they just effectively turned Michael Savage's First Amendment ability to speak off. That's the largest. It's, yes. I mean, this is significant stuff that's going on at levels now that, you know, there's been a number of us, okay, and by us, this Swami is referring to those engaged in programming that addresses conspiratorial analysis and discussion, okay? Now, it's gotten to the point where this guy, Michael Savage, who won the United States National Broadcasting Hall of Fame Award. I mean, this guy is legit. He's a professor. He's, you know, he knows what he's talking about. And boom, they snuffed his broadcast on that day while he was discussing Hillary Clinton's health situation. And there's going to be more to come of that sort of thing. I mean, they've really stepped out in a large way in manipulating and taking hold of perception management. It's really gotten big. And a whole lot of us, again, saying us as those of us who broadcast and speculate and give facts and figures and that about things the mainstream's not touching. This is, you know, many of us have been interfered with in one way or another and had shows stopped effectively or caused, had our sound quality to be interfered with to the point where people would stop listening. You know, I mean, this is all, it's going down and it's going down big time now. And this, now with this changeover to some board of whatever, you know, sort of a UN situation with the control of the internet, period, you know, this is the real deal. This is what we've been speculating and pointing at for years and years and years. But it's actually starting to happen, not just the banking, but people's access to information is being dreadful.
The silver lining in that is people are actually taking, you know, the people, are, you know, like you're saying, this guy's mainstream. This Michael Savage is sort of like, you know, the top of the tree as far as broadcasting in the States goes, sort of thing, you know, and if he's been taking down, people are going to notice, you know, and it's going to, hopefully it should be a matter of time before the domino effect for these idiots will start to happen. Let's hope that's what happens instead of sort of being fearful of them trying to shut us down, because they're a fucking minority, man. We are many.
And the idea of shutting the internet down or even controlling it is farcical, really, because the technology is out there for independent servers they are loads of independent servers, and you know because the internet isn't just one place, it's everywhere,
right,
that's got a signal, really, now with the, you know, with smartphones. It's crazy that you can be on a mountain and still, you know, browse the internet. So that information field is there. At the moment, they're just trying to curtail it, which if...
The problem is, though... The problem is, though, I think, is that we tend to kind of self-corral ourselves in a way, in, you know, with like-minded people. So it's quite difficult for different information to get out of those circles and to the general public. And if you only have, I'm talking quite a large percent here. Say you have 30% mm-hmm. people who are looking outside of the box for information, then, you've still got the majority to sell the propaganda to, and who are going to buy it. And so the information is really going to find itself locked with the minority. It's very difficult to actually get that in, although some of it will get out. It's very difficult to push it out in a big way.
And it'd be harder for people to find the information that don't already know where to go, because massive corporations like Google and the major search engines will just put those results way down the thing.
On page 12.
Exactly. And I mean, big corporations they must have so many sites whereby they just immediately, like a new product comes out or some kind of information is there, they must just come up with all the memes and then just swamp Facebook with them, and then people start sharing them and this, that and the other. Because, you know, I've seen an awful lot of adverts these days coming up on the pages on Facebook. And I see a lot of people sharing these things, which are obviously sponsored adverts that have come up. And I think, well, they're just sharing an advert that's come up. That isn't information that they've looked out and wanted to share. It's just something that's been thrown at them.
That type of marketing is like chain letters, isn't it?
Yeah, completely. They just throw it out there and just let it go like a Chinese whisper. Well, not like a Chinese whisper, because that changes the information, but just let it go, sort of, as you know, watch it.
This is really unwitting and phishing, because companies like Google,
it's not even phishing. They're not even trying to hook people. They're just trying to spread out that information.
But if you click on that, that'll get added to your algorithm, and that more of those things will pop up.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah. Traced, and databased.
Yeah. You are maybe someone who will like this kind of information.
Yeah.
We'll send
more
to you.
It'd be an interesting experiment to for a week or so, click on things that you wouldn't normally click on, and see if the advertising down the side of the page changes to your new likes.
That's a bit of an Anton Wilson thing coming out there, Nick, isn't it? Prometheus Rising.
Yes. Yeah, the machine is learning.
Oh, and in case y'all weren't aware of this particular fact from the last week, the Trump-Clinton debate from last Monday is now the most viewed just through television. I mean, there was tons and tons of streaming online through phones, computers, whatever, also available. But the viewership just on television was over 4 million more than the prior most watched, which was the first Carter-Reagan debate.
Yeah.
So,
it's...
Yeah. Yep. 80, well, over 84 million views. That's just television.
How many of those people were watching it for the car crash, the spectacular
soap opera?
Yeah, but
Because, well, it doesn't really matter. They were tuned in, you know.
It's pretty unprecedented event, isn't it? It does epitomise the pantomime of US politics, where you've got such extreme in character, but also rather alike. And two really vilified candidates for this job. People that that are voting, I'm not saying all the people that voted for, but some people that are voting for Hillary will be voting for her because they don't want to have a loon in power when they're going to get a loon. It's a no-win situation.
Right.
Yeah. For them, right. Yeah.
There isn't even an illusion of choice.
Yeah.
There's no hope or change. There's no hope or change.
It was a bit like the
election. Well, you know, those of us who work with developmentally disabled people, mentally retarded, mentally ill, you know, whatever, that's one of the very first things you learn to do in behavior management is to give them the appearance of a choice to make. Right, guys?
Yes. Absolutely.
That's one of the very first things you utilize in order to manage their behavior when their behavior has become negative, let's say. You know, or they go, then you give them, then you, you know, I mean, this is just classic management of perception to get the result you want. Not that it's legit, but it leads
to,
and it's being utilized.
So are you trying to say both the Republican and Democratic parties are treating the American populace as if they had developmental disorders?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Left wing, right wing, different wings on the same bird of prey with talons aimed at your face. So don't even play that game.
It is going to be, whichever way it goes, it is just going to be a fucking crazy time, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and that's if there's even an election.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why I said
there's still situations in play that could end up, the election is canceled, postponed, all sorts of stuff.
Whichever way it goes, they're running mates. That was what I was going to say. The running mates are going to be very interesting to watch because, you know, if the election does happen, then they might have to step in at some point. Whichever, you know, whether Hillary or Donald.
Mm-hmm. It's just a staggering level of manipulation that is plainly viewable now.
Yeah. Yeah, I was having
we had discussed this a little bit before the show started. It's basically undeniable if you look at a photograph of Hillary Clinton and a photograph of the woman who stepped out on 9/11 of what was allegedly Chelsea Clinton's apartment building, that's two different human beings. And that's just all there is to it. So it's like...
Do you think it could have been the other way around, that it was actually Hillary coming out of
No.
Chelsea.
This woman is younger. She's thinner. It's yeah. not her. It just isn't.
She's got a fucking. She hasn't got a ring on. it's pretty obvious. Yeah. Shall we?
I had a thought that the person that collapsed and then they rushed into the van could have been sort of a malfunctioning clone.
Could be any number of crazy things. I mean, we just graduated to this level of ridiculosity that, you know, who'd have thought we'd ever see things like this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny.
Reality is bleeding through.
Should we just wish old Tommy Sheridan a happy birthday for this week?
Happy birthday, yeah, Tommy.
Was yesterday.
Yesterday, and have you seen his? Yeah. Have you seen this Louis Theroux thing?
Yes.
It's cutting through the wires. Yeah, very interesting. Have you seen the snippets on the BBC website about how Louis Theroux is thoroughly ashamed of himself that he didn't realise he was interviewing a paedophile, and he actually threw up a bit of a friendship with Jimmy Savile, and he went to visit him a couple of times after. The interview sort of thing with the his excuse was he didn't feel like he got to know him enough during the interview process, and he found him very cordial and very friendly and all the rest of it. And after it was announced, you know, what we all know now to be right, that he was approached by many people, like after or you know before he died and after he'd made the documentary about, you know, you not realise what a nasty guy he is. You're sort of portraying here in a good light. And he's since gone back to interview a couple of these people, and two of them claim to be ex-lovers of Jimmy Savile, or ex, you know, girlfriends. And one of them told him that at the time when they first got together, she was 14. Now, if that's not a bit of a red flag, Louis, can you not fucking, like, you know, explain yourself a bit better instead of sort of doing a backtracking documentary that he's going to do. But also, on the other hand, these people have come forward and told him about the Peter Sutcliffe and Myra Hindley stuff from Broadmoor. It's fucking dark as you like. Mm. He's actually sort of saying, you know, oh, I can't believe I was so naive to not see the signs.
I can't believe that I came from such a middle-class background that I couldn't see the signs.
It's just like, fuck off. But seen that.
Didn't he actually ask him on the you know, the show that he did with him about people thinking that he was a paedophile?
No, I don't think so. He asked him about why he's never had a wife or why he's never married, and he just said, "Oh, women are brain damaged. They're just brain damaged. They just do your head in." And he actually sort of made the gesture of smashing her skull in, which, you know,
Thomas brings
up on the show we did on Savile. And, you know, funnily enough, Swami, what you were talking about a moment ago, Swami, about shows being disrupted. Right. How we got a bit of trouble that night sort of thing. And I think that was show number one, wasn't it?
Thomas's whole internet box in the wall, you know, he's like... phone line completely fried during that show. You had to get a guy out to come and you know, replace it all.
Right, who then asked him, did you guys get hit by lightning?
It wasn't cookies, was it, that one?
No,
just
no
by,
that wasn't cookies. That wasn't probably
by Savile's Java ghost.
Then. Yeah. Yeah. Because it obviously comes up. In the
oh, and
BBC
by the way,
thing.
Thank you, Thomas. Thomas gave us, I don't know if y'all heard it, but Thomas gave us a very nice few words about our fifth anniversary or fifth birthday show and pointing out to his vast audience that we here at Type One, although we have divergent opinions and streams of thought on various things, none of us here are agenda driven. None of us are apologizing for idiots and criminals and, you know, and yet we still hang out together and get along well, and we make a quality bit of entertainment and information. So thank you, Thomas.
Yeah,
thank you, Thomas.
I was tempted to check a few things on the timeline, but I didn't. He would have found it funny, but his legions of followers would have probably hated it.
He's got some crazy followers. Absolutely fucking crazy. Yeah. He's got some even crazier haters. Right. Oh dear. They are like, it's Cat Lady City.
Yeah.
So we've got about 10 minutes to the end of the show, and the end tune's very short anyway. But I'd like to say before we start wrapping up that next week's show will be not live. It'll be like a podcast that'll be available on Saturday, because during the week we are going to have the pleasure of interviewing Anthony Peake. That's going to be ace, isn't it, folks?
Looking forward to that a lot. By the way, if anyone is not familiar, you might have heard the name Anthony Peake, but not familiar with his work, make the effort to go take a look at what he's talking about, and then we will go much deeper into topics of that sort with him. And it's going to be an amazing, amazing show.
I've got
I'm just reading his new book at the moment, and I'm sure we're going to discuss some of his Philip K. Dick work, and The Daemon, and it's going to be a very, very interesting show. Any last bongs whilst I get this tune ready?
Not from this side of the pond.
Should we mention quickly that the Obama's been vetoed on the Saudi thing?
Pretty huge. Veto of a presidential veto. His veto was overridden with only one vote, along with Obama. All the other voters went against it. And that's the first time in his presidency that that's occurred. That was pretty huge.
For that to go through, they need to find out what happened. Because all those cases will be just speculation.
Right.
Well, it'll just...
Somebody's got to go another level deeper into the truth of things.
Well, it seems like it's going to... like we discussed with the EU vote over here, how the EU was an illegal thing anyway. It's just going to vilify the official story that some hijackers actually flew a plane into a building which turned it to dust, which we all know is physically impossible. So that's the only downside about that. You know, it's really like, you know, the Saudis fucking didn't fly any planes into any buildings and fucking... So it's going to... what's the word we use when... you acquiesce.
If a plane goes in or not.
Well, no, you acquiesce making it to dust. It's acquiescing to the official story. And the official story clearly a fucking lie. No matter what side of the fence you're on, it's fucking planes don't turn buildings to dust. I'm sorry, they don't. By flying it. But I just thought it was quite interesting that, all of a sudden, I mean, there's all sorts of conspiratorial sort of pages going on about how this is going to see the end of the New World Order, which I fucking very much doubt.
No.
I mean, there's this one, ex-CIA Saudi revealed to name the names of who was behind the 9/11 attacks. Israel, CIA, the Bush family, Rothschilds are all major players, according to this.
But the Saudis are friends of the Bushes.
This is absolute bullshit. I mean, Neon Netto, is anyone aware of this website?
Neon Netto, anyone?
Yeah, nettle. Sounds like a stinging nettle.
Oh, nettle.
It's pretty slick looking, not so it seems like it's... Yeah, it hasn't a jaggy nettle that stings you and you need a dock leaf to cure it. But it's basically saying...
It is a pretty backhanded way. Having this veto overridden is a pretty backhanded way to support the official story, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what it's going to do, because it's saying the Saudis are, you know, going to be taken to court over, you know, thingies. And we all know that other people have tried court cases and have just fallen straight on their ass because they won't fucking hear them. But I wonder if they'll decide, oh, we'll hear this case. So, yeah, interesting. Interesting how it's been played out through the alternative media. You know, as we've talked before about how we can be used, or people like us can be used to spread, you know, other things which will just get these fuckers off the hook. Like Nick said, we need to know what happened. Never mind who did it. We need to know what did it first. That needs to be ascertained very much before we go ahead with any kind of fucking lawsuits or what have you.
Just before we go on Agenda 21 watch, the ex-president, former president of Ireland, Mary Robertson, in a very Agenda 21 message while she was speaking at the One Young World Summit in Ottawa, she advocated that we all need to go vegan. We should eat less meat and or no meat, because we all need to think about our own carbon footprint. And this is, I would say,
disrupts your levels.
Yeah, hand in your gun while you're at it.
Oh, where should we be speaking? The former United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights was speaking at the summit, which brings together 1,300 current and future young leaders.
Oh, there we go.
Composed there from 196 nations together in order to discuss issues from peace, security to business and education. But it'd be interesting if Julia Middleton was there. Anyway, so we'll see you live again in 2 weeks. We'll be broadcasting live. Listen out for the Anthony Peak interview. Tiffany's birthday tomorrow, we didn't really want to play. Well, I didn't really want to play Tiffany's version of this song, so Steve found a sort of slightly rockier version of it by a band called Snuff. So here we go.
Ask a friend of ours.
Take care, folks.
Namaste, y'all.